Good morning, everyone. The reading is from 1 John 2, verse 18 till 27. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him.
Yay. So, the series which we've been looking at started last week, didn't we? This letter of John, this short letter of John, is walking with Jesus. I was quite tempted to put a picture of Julian there. Some of you know he's keen on walking, but he did the picture, so he chose a random figure. But I think we all understand that metaphor, don't we, of like walking along a path as a picture of the way we go through life, walking through life. And Simon reminded us last week, I think, as we looked at chapter 1 of 1 John, that it's important to know who we're walking with. Was that right, Simon? And it's important to know some of the difficulties that might come up, that might be ahead of us. We looked at walking in the light. But as Simon, I think, said, this week we're looking at the theme of walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. And we're going to look at what John has to say in chapter 2 particularly. Perhaps a bit more about the actual path that we're walking on. If we think about going along in life, what about the actual path that we're walking on? Because maybe we've got some questions about that path. Where is it going? Where's the path going that we're walking on? Is it the right path? Catch up with myself. Does it matter if I stay on the path? Does it make any difference? I mean, in my experience, sometimes the path's quite well signposted and we sort of know where it is and where the edges are. And sometimes the edges are a bit sort of blurry and we're not quite sure if we stayed on the path or not. Have I strayed off it? And does it matter anyway? I mean, if it's nice walking along and it's a sunny day, does it matter if I stay on the path? Can I keep going on the path right until the end? Maybe you've got some of those questions. So that's what we're going to be looking at in 1 John chapter 2 this morning. And we're going to see in this passage that John is going to tell us there's something that we need to be really careful about, but there's also something we can be confident about. And I think any passage in Scripture that starts with a warning, we need to take notice of. So shall we just pray again briefly before we dive into the passage? Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for the amazing truths that we've sung about this morning. Thank you that you are with us here this morning. Thank you that you want us to know Jesus, the truth. And we pray that you would speak to us and we pray that we would listen to you and understand what we hear and act on what we hear. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start with our warning, something to be careful about. And let's look back at those first two verses that Karina read to us a moment ago. So verses 18 and 19. Dear children, we think John might have been quite old at this point, writing to the church. This is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they didn't really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going out showed that none of them belonged to us. As we read through the whole letter of that first letter of John, in fact, the three letters of John, John 1, 2 and 3, we can see that John has lots of warnings to the church about these antichrists. In chapter 3, verse 7 of this letter, he pleads, don't let anyone lead you astray. And in chapter 4, he talks again about false prophets that are to come. And in fact, they've already come in this last hour, because we're living in the last hour, or the last days, sometimes the Bible calls it, not literally the last hour, but it's the way the Bible uses to refer, doesn't it, between that first coming of Jesus at Bethlehem and the second coming of Jesus when he's going to come in glory. This is the last hour, and antichrists seem to be a feature of living in the last hour. So who are these antichrists? It sounds a bit scary, doesn't it? I was looking for a bit of a film cover at this point. I couldn't find one. I don't know if there is a film called The Antichrist, but somehow the word conjures up in my mind a bit of a sort of terrifying figure with, some sort of dark beast or something like that. But that's not what John is talking about right here. We've just seen, haven't we, that John is actually talking about people who've been part of the church. So perhaps a bit less like this and a bit more like this. People like you and me. In your village, the antichrists. Specific people in the church who have actually left the church, he says, and they're dangerous. This is pretty hard-hitting stuff, isn't it? Why are they so dangerous? Well, they're dangerous because they bring a lie. They're dangerous because they bring a lie, and they're seeking to lead the church away from the truth, away from Jesus, the truth. In fact, they have defected, if that's easy to remember. They deny who Jesus is, and they're looking to deceive the church. John has an awful lot to say about truth and about lies. Because truth is really important, isn't it? Or is it? Do you believe in truth, that there is such a thing as truth? That's a good question for a philosophy teacher, isn't it? I've spent a lot of time debating that with classes. But you and I live in a society in which very largely a lot of people don't believe that there is such a thing as absolute truth. I've certainly had lots of conversations with friends and colleagues who would deny that there's any absolute truth. I don't know if any of you saw this TV interview a little while ago. I didn't watch it, actually, but I did read about it. You remember there was an interview with Prince Harry on American TV and his wife, Meghan. And some of the things that they said, the press picked up afterwards and said, oh, that wasn't quite the case, or this was a bit different to that. And other people said, oh, well, it's their truth. It's their truth. It's their lived truth. That's what matters. Is that all there is? My truth? Your truth? Or is there such a thing as the truth? It's not a new question, is it? And some of you might be thinking of a well-known character in the Bible who asked that question, what is truth, 2,000 years ago, as Jesus stood in front of him. It was Pilate, wasn't it, at the trial of Jesus. Let me just read you those verses, also from John in his Gospel. You're a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you're right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Jesus had a lot to say about truth as well. He said that God's word is truth. Not only the inspired words of God we have in our Bibles in Scripture, but the Word of God himself in flesh, Jesus, who declared himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. There is such a thing as truth, and that's why it means it's important that we're on our guard against lies. John says in his third letter that he has no greater joy when he looks at the church than to see them walking in the truth. Okay, but that raises a question, doesn't it? How do we know what's truth and what is lies? How do we know the difference? After all, the people that John was talking about here had people that they knew, people that had been in the church. They seemed to have been genuine believers. And people in the church have different views about things, don't they? I expect some of us have different views and beliefs about different issues. If we think about the Western church today, there are quite a lot of different views, aren't there, about big issues like identity and sexuality and gender, the roles of men and women. So how do we know if the preacher has it right? Do we need as a church to spell out very detailed doctrine? Should Simon be compiling a long list, a book of doctrine that we all sign up to and we consider to be right? Well, that's a pretty big issue. We do have some core beliefs here, don't we, as a church? Because right doctrine is very important. And certain key truths are vital. And I think what John is seen to be saying here is that denial of these key truths would indicate that actually a person doesn't know and love God. Truth, as we've seen, is found in the revealed Word of God. I mean, there are truths about the world that aren't in the Bible, aren't they? That London is the capital of England, but they don't run contrary to what we read in God's revealed Word. I found it a really useful exercise, and it may be something you want to do later, but just look at this very short letter of John, just 5 chapters, and let me show you the truths that I found just in this book. I don't know if you can read that, it's rather small. God is love and light. You can see all the references there. All people are sinners. God knows everything. God is light. There is no sin or darkness in him at all. God showed us his love by sending Jesus to be an atoning sacrifice for our sin so that we might live through him. God's lavished his love on us and made us his children. Jesus showed us what love really is by laying down his life for us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive. We must believe in the name of God's Son and acknowledge that he is the Son of God. If we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. The power of God overcomes the power of evil. If we claim to live in him, we must walk as Jesus did and live to please God, doing what's right, obeying his commands, not continuing to sin, but loving one another, not just in words, but also in actions. We have overcome the evil one. The word of God lives in us. We've passed from death to life. Jesus will come again, and when he appears, we will see him as he is. The Spirit assures us of all this. Well, I've whizzed through that, haven't I? But there's some incredible, amazing truths there that we perhaps should spend longer dwelling on. It would be good to go back and look at it. And this is our creed, isn't it? This is the creed of our church. And yes, there are sort of secondary issues, we might say, that the church has, Christians have different views about, and we should listen to each other and explore and learn from what God has shown to his followers, perhaps those in different places and times particularly. Some of those issues we might never come to answers on. We need to keep loving each other. But it's not being judgmental. It's not splitting hairs to say we need to stand on these core truths, is it? These are things that we need to believe. And on the contrary, John says, we must remain in these truths. These are the truths of the gospel. When Pilate asked, what is truth? The truth literally was staring him in the face. Jesus. And look, this too is John's test of truth. If we look at verse 22, who's the liar? It's the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. That truth's not up for negotiation. If Jesus is the Christ, his words aren't up for negotiation either. So any claim that Jesus is not the Christ, that Jesus is not the Saviour, is not the truth. And John is giving us a strong warning as the church not to be led away from the path of truth. If you go to the doctor, well, it's nice if they're pleasant and friendly to you and accepting, but what's really important is that they make the right diagnosis and give us the right medicine, isn't it? And we should be welcoming, loving, polite to those with other beliefs. We should also hold out to them the word of truth, because it's vital, isn't it, to know who Jesus is. I think John's saying that as a church, we can't actually be united to those who teach the contrary. We must love them, but we can't be united with them. So that's quite a serious warning, isn't it? Something to be really careful about, standing on the truth, because those false teachers defect, deny, and deceive. And perhaps it's a bit scary to remember that we are in a battle. But John also gives us something to be really confident about in this passage as well. So let's move on. And John tells us that we need to recognise something, remember something, and remain in something. So let's go and look at the next part of our passage in a bit more detail. I think we've got the next section, from verse 20 to 27. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I don't write to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who's the liar? It's the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you've heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and the Father. And this is what he has promised us, even eternal life. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you. And you don't need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. So firstly, we need to recognise that we have an anointing from God. We have an anointing from God, a real anointing, not a counterfeit one. What is this anointing? It's the Spirit that God has given each one who has said yes to Jesus, who has come under the authority of Jesus, who has recognised that Jesus is the Messiah. You've had this anointing, he says. You know the truth. Think about kings in the Old Testament. When it was recognised they were chosen by God, they were anointed, weren't they, with something holy. We've been chosen by God, if we're his followers, and we've been anointed with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think we're tempted to think we need some sort of spiritual extra in our Christian lives. If only I had something kind of a wonderful experience extra, I'd be more of a Christian. Well, there's lots we need to learn as we walk on with Jesus and get closer to him. But John says, no, recognize this. You've had this anointing. You've got this anointing already. And this anointing means that you know the truth. What he's saying is we've already got everything we need to know for salvation. We've already got it. There are some people here who've had lots of theological training, aren't there? And we might think, oh, I wish I had that theological training. But if you're a Christian here today, you're no more or less of a Christian than they are. In fact, learning brings its own traps. So remember, says John, remember what you knew from the beginning. Don't forget what you knew right at the beginning when you came to Jesus. Don't forget who Jesus is and what he's done for you. Don't forget to keep turning to him for forgiveness and walking as he walked. Remain in the truth. Remain in Jesus. Hold on to the word of truth, he says. And then we can be confident that we're on the right path. And confident on where that path is leading. We asked, didn't we, earlier, do we know where the path is leading? And John says that this path with Jesus leads us to life. It brings us life, not just now, but for eternity. Because Jesus doesn't just point us to the way of salvation. He is the way of salvation. Look at verse 24. See that what you've had from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he's promised us, even eternal life. So hold on to the truths that you know. So we need to recognise that we have an anointing from God. We have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Remember what we already know and remain in Jesus. It's God's Holy Spirit who helps us to hold on to those truths, isn't it? Because sometimes we can get very distracted. We can get waylaid by our changing circumstances or our changing feelings. But we need to keep looking up to God. Keep looking back to what Jesus has already done for us. Hold on to what Jesus has done and know that it's because of that that we're accepted by a holy God. And let's keep reminding each other of the truths of his word. We've been doing that this morning, haven't we, as we've been singing them together, reminding and encouraging each other about the truths of God's word. Because I think the less we know God's word, the more easily we're going to be deceived. And the more we know God's word, the more we can be reminded of the truths in it. So let's keep encouraging each other to do that. To call out false teaching, yes. And to keep walking in obedience to God's commandments, trusting him to help us to do that, to support us and to forgive us when we go wrong. So let's walk as Jesus walked, as John tells us to do. Because John says that if we claim to love him but refuse to walk as Jesus walked, then that makes us liars. Keep walking and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Simon pointed me earlier this week to an article that was really helpful about prayer. And it was reminding us that we are in a battle, but we have weapons, don't we? And prayer is a weapon that we have. So let's keep praying too, because we are in a battle in this world. Some years ago at the school where I worked, a young history teacher joined the school. And I remember chatting to her soon after she joined, and I said, you know, how are you doing and what did you get up to at the weekend, which is the sort of thing you talk about of the photocopier, isn't it? And she said, oh, I've been playing hockey. And then she said, actually, you never need to ask me again what I do. Don't ask me again what I do at the weekend, because every weekend I play hockey. That's what I do every weekend. So you don't need to ask me that question again. And that seemed to be the case, that every weekend she played hockey. And actually, sometimes she had time off in school time too to play hockey. She's a good teacher. You might remember her, Sherry. She's a good teacher, an engaging teacher. She works hard. She does her marking. She heads up a year group. But as I got to know her, I saw there was something she doesn't do. When it's the end of term sort of get together, she doesn't drink too much. When people bring cakes in the staff room, she holds back. She told me actually that when she was in one of her first hockey matches as a teenager, she had to take a penalty, a bit current, isn't it? Hopefully this isn't, and she missed her penalty and the team lost. And she said, oh, my mum took me to Burger King on the way home to cheer me up. But of course I couldn't do that now. She doesn't do that now. Well, this is a picture of her last week. You see, she had a goal. She has a goal. She's had a goal for years in mind. And all the time she's been going to school and teaching or doing a job, being with friends and family, she's got a goal in mind that she keeps aiming for. And she's been listening to her coaches and she's been keeping on the right path. And maybe she'll win a medal at this summer's Olympics. I hope she does. If you're a follower of Jesus, we have a much better prize ahead, don't we? Even than an Olympic gold medal. Jesus promises us a crown that will last forever. So keep going. And let's ask God to help us to keep on the path. And to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. Shall we close with a prayer? Father God, thank you that your word is truth and your word is light and it is life. Thank you that means we can trust it, we can trust you absolutely and in all situations. Thank you that you have loved us enough to give us the anointing of your Holy Spirit to guide us into your truth. Thank you for Jesus, who is the truth. Please help us this week to keep on the right path. Help us to keep walking in the truth. Help us to keep coming back to your word. Help us to keep talking with you and help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Father, we pray that we might keep on encouraging each other to keep walking in the truth until the day we see you face to face. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.